The political gears are turning after the CDC decided yesterday to lift almost all mask mandates for fully vaccinated people. Today, Vermont joined the list of states immediately dropping most mask requirements, but in others like New York, Massachusetts, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and California, it'll take a while longer.
And in Washington, the January insurrection continues to upend politics. This morning, New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik was elected to House Republican leadership 2 days after rank-and-file members ousted Liz Cheney for continuing to criticize the former president for his role in the riot. Afterwards, Stefanik thanked Trump.
I believe that voters determine the leader of the Republican Party, and President Trump is the leader that they look to. I support President Trump. Voters support President Trump. He is an important voice in our Republican Party, and we look forward to working with him.
Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us to put all of this in context. We have Margaret Tolove, who is managing editor at Axios, and Aisha Roscoe, who is NPR's White House correspondent. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tanya. Great to be with you.
Well, let's start with what happened this morning. New York House Republican conference leader Elise Stefanik of upstate New York was overwhelmingly elected. This happened really fast. What does that tell you, Aisha?
It tells me that the Republican Party is one that is, you know, if there was any question, I don't think there was, it is the party of Trump, and that is the main guiding light for them right now. Stefanik is more moderate. Liz Cheney, which was much more conservative on policy compared to Stefanik, but Stefanik is much more loyal to Trump, and that's clearly what matters, and she had the backing of Trump.
Well, Margaret, let's bring you in here. Stefanik said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has the slimmest majority in a generation. It's likely now that Republicans will take back the House. How are Republicans and Democrats positioning themselves for the congressional midterms?
This is so much about the midterms. And I think when you look at Stefanik, in many ways, she's sort of like the perfect symbol or microcosm of the evolution of the Republican Party in recent years. When she was elected in 2014, she was the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. And other than driving around like in a Ford F-150, she had so many of the markers of the old style of Republicans, right? She had worked in George W. Bush's administration. She had she went to Harvard, right? She'd done debate prep for Paul Ryan. That's not right. The Republican Party anymore. And Kevin McCarthy, his leadership team, have made the decision that their best chance at taking back Congress, their best chance at taking back the House next November, a year from November, is to wrap themselves in the mantra of Trump and be all in. And you keep hearing this word unity. You heard it in her remarks. You heard it in Kevin McCarthy's remarks. The idea that if they just rally around the former president, that's their best chance to get over the finish line. And so they're putting all their chips on that bet. And that's what we saw
Margaret,
this week.
Let me just interrupt you to say, if this is all about the midterms, and it's all in support of a former president who lost the last election.
That's what's so interesting about this is that you normally a former president, a one-term president, would slink off into the unknown where you don't really hear from them anymore. But they are making this bet that for their constituents, and you have to think about the House is very gerrymandered, that for their districts, that having Trump support will be enough to get them over the finish line.
Well, Stefanik said that Republican voters are unified in support of President Trump. We know that's not true. We're seeing more than 100 Republicans threaten to form a third party. These are prominent Republicans threatening to form a third party if Trump continues to perpetuate the lie that the election was stolen. What do you think about that effort? Is it going anywhere, Margaret?
If you look at the polling now, President Trump is still the closest thing to a unifying leader the Republican Party has. And so I think it depends a lot on things that happen in the months to come. There are investigations, including criminal investigations, that touch the former president. We just don't know how that will impact public opinion yet. And what you see Liz Cheney saying is the Republican Party is never going to get beyond Donald Trump if they embrace Donald Trump. So she's saying it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they lose the next midterms. Doesn't matter what happens for 2024. To really reclaim the principles of the Republican Party, they need to cast him aside and step away from him, step away from the lie that the election was stolen.
Well,
but if you look at the polling, Republicans are much more supportive of Donald Trump than they are of Liz Cheney at this moment. And that's where Kevin McCarthy's calculations come in. It's not about the truth or conservative principles. It's about winning in politics right now.
Let's talk about something else that happened this morning. The top Democratic and Republican lawmakers on the House Homeland Security Committee said that they had reached a deal on a bipartisan independent commission to investigate the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol. But we saw stark divides in that House hearing this week. Georgia Republican Andrew Clyde says what he saw was not an insurrection. Let's listen.
Watching the TV footage of those who entered the Capitol and walked through Statuary Hall showed people in an orderly fashion staying between the stanchions and ropes, taking videos and pictures. You know, if you didn't know the TV footage was a video from January the 6th, you would actually think it was a normal tourist visit.
This is really surprising to hear that, I mean, 400 people were arrested, 5 people died because of the violence that day that we actually saw with our own eyes. Do you think this commission is going to actually help us understand what happened? Aisha?
It's going to be difficult, and you still have Republican leaders who have to get on board with this. Kevin McCarthy has not said that he's on board with this deal that was reached.
I think we might have just lost Aisha.
I'm sorry, Margaret, Aisha, we just lost you. But Margaret, can you weigh in here? We're talking about this commission really helping us to understand what happened on January 6th.
The deal cut so far, assuming that Kevin McCarthy goes along with it and allows it to move forward, does allow a commission to move forward. But anyone who has worked in Washington knows that the ground rules for the commission are always incredibly important for how much digging can happen and what can get done. And right now, what we're looking at is a split formation of the commission, so a party split. You'd need a majority to sort of move elements forward. That's going to be really tough if Republicans, go back to that word unity, decide to unify to block something. It's going to affect everything like subpoenas. Who can a subpoena be issued on? What is going to be the scope of what the commission can investigate? Until we know all of that, until we see what the agreement is on that, we're not really going to have a sense of how deep and how substantial this can be. Can it be another 9/11 commission? I doubt it based on what we're seeing now, but it's something. It is something, and something will come out as a matter of course about it. It will allow the conversation to continue. Elements will be leaked. We all know how this works. So how profound, how deep can the investigation go? I think we don't know that yet, but some commission is better than no commission if you're looking at an avenue for information to come out.
Very quickly, we have Aisha Roscoe back with us. And Aisha, it was also Infrastructure Week, right? There were a lot of bipartisan meetings on this. Did any of it move the ball forward?
Well, what Biden said is that they were able to talk about, you know, both the White House's proposal on infrastructure, and that they expect that Republicans will come back with a counteroffer on what the White House proposed, and that discussions will continue. I imagine that it will still, you know, that they're still pretty far apart right now, so I don't think a deal is coming anytime soon, but they're still talking.
But Margaret, what do you think about what they're saying? In other words, is it just theater at this point for both sides to say, hey, we tried to be bipartisan, and now the Democrats are just kind of waiting out the clock to push through budget reconciliation again?
There's the two-word phrase to watch. It's called user fees, which translates to gas tax. The negotiations now are going to move to whether Democrats will agree to change the way this is paid for, to raise taxes, basically regressive taxes on a fee-for-service basis to help backfill some of this money. And then the question is, that's what Republicans are asking them to do. Are they asking them to do that because they think that's the right policy, or because they're going to let Democrats walk the ledge, go against Biden's promise not to raise taxes on anyone earning less than $400,000, then vote no for it and go into the midterm saying, look, Joe Biden and Democrats raised your taxes. So there is like a huge degree of mistrust and like one step forward, two steps back here. But Biden doesn't have very many other choices. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema on his own side are holding back his ability to do what he wants without any Republican votes at this moment. So this is where he is, and it's going to be baby steps, and we'll see where it lands.
Got a minute left. Aisha, let me just ask you, should we at all think that perhaps the CDC's decision on masking was political? And pardon my skepticism.
Well, you know what, my colleague Tamara Keith has been reporting on this, and a White House official told her that, you know, the White House did not know about that President Biden did not know about this decision until Thursday morning. And the White House was informed the night before that it was a completely independent decision that was made by the, by the CDC. And so that's what they say, that it wasn't that they did not that they worked independently.
All right. Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House correspondent, and Margaret Talev, managing editor at Axios. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.